Amen. Turn in your Bibles to the letter to the Romans, chapter 7. The title of the sermon this morning is Enjoying God Here and There. As we continue our series in heaven, this is what we were made for. Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. Enjoying God here and there. Follow along as I read the text. And this is a before and after. You'll get it in a minute. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members, that is, in our unredeemed bodies, to bear fruit to death. Now, why is that? Because the wages of sin is death, right? But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so what we have here, you have the law and you have grace. Although the word grace is not actually in the text, the only way to be delivered from sin unto righteousness or from death unto life is by the grace of God. So what we have here is a then and a now. Then, at one time, every person in this room who knows they're a child of God, at one time you were not a child of God. You were in your flesh, you were in sin, and the wages of your life was death, eternal death. But God, child of God, sets you free by His grace, and you are no longer under the law. You are no longer under the dominion of a body of flesh. Now you can serve God in the newness of the Spirit of God. Enjoying God here and there. Let me ask a question. This is probably a question I would dare say that not many of us have considered, but I think it's a good one. Have you ever been torn between a desire for heaven and a desire for God? It's kind of a tough question, isn't it? I'm a deeper thinker than you thought. I guess the question really is centered around, has your desire for heaven and your desire for God seemingly been disconnected? As if they were two completely different things. On the surface, a desire for heaven and a desire for God may seemingly be different desires, but they're not. The desire for heaven and the desire for God are intricately intertwined. Let me explain. Is it not true that the more we love God, the more we will love the place He's prepared for us? And how in the world can we possibly look forward to heaven if we don't love God? Do you see what I'm saying? The more we long for heaven, the more we will find ourselves longing for Him. Because, again, they're intricately entwined. You cannot long for heaven and not love God. And you cannot love God and not have a longing to be in that place called heaven. God's home. I think one of the indictments of the Christian faith in our lifetime, in fact, preceding our lifetime, surely over the last 75 years at least, is that the thinking of God's people has been far too shallow, too surfacey. Where are the deep thinkers? about the things of God. The people who really probe and really deeply ponder and consider the truths of God. They're just not, folks like that just aren't nearly as plentiful as they used to be. And if you don't believe it, here's all you have to do. Read the writings of your forefathers. I'm not talking about just of preachers. I'm talking about of Christian men and women. Read their writings about God. And you will very quickly see that those people, they read their Bibles, they studied their Bibles, they deeply pondered the deeper, richer things of God. They knew biblical doctrine, they understood it, they knew how to apply it, and they knew how to share it. We should be thinking about such matters as this more deeply. A longing for God and a longing for heaven. Do they even meet anywhere in the middle? Are they really intertwined? Can I really say, oh, I know when I die I'm going to heaven, but I really don't have a love for God? Do you realize there are a lot of people who think they're going to heaven and yet they have no love for God? Well, how does that line up with the Scriptures? It doesn't. I cannot go to heaven if I don't love God. And if I love God, I know that my home is not here. I'm just a passing pilgrim. I'm passing through this world. At one time it was my home, but now I've been delivered from darkness into His marvelous light. Once I was not a child of God, now I am a child of God. Once I was a son of Satan, now I'm a son of the Most High God. And this is not my home. Heaven is my home. And I look forward to it because I love God and I want to be where He is. How about you? Heaven, you see, is a place of fellowship with God. The richest fellowship with God that you could ever imagine. We can't even fathom the fellowship that a child of God will have with God once that child of God is in a glorified state in the very presence of the one who loved and saved his soul. There is where the richest fellowship with God is. And that's the most blessed benefit of being in heaven. There, the children of God will enjoy God and glorify Him forever. But let me ask you a question. Is that not why we were created here? The Word of God declares to you and me that our creative purpose is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Did you hear that word? Forever. Forever is the key word. What is the chief aim of man? The Word of God asked. The wise man wrote, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So if you ever wonder, well, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why do I even exist? The answer is very easy. It's not a long answer. You don't need to write 3 books to explain it to you. Here's the answer. It's easy. It's short. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's why you were created. Forever being the operative word. Well, when does forever begin? Well, forever begins the moment I close my eyes in death here and wake up to life in heaven. No, it does not. Forever started the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's when forever began for you and me. Now, you and I, we could not fulfill our creative purpose until we became the recipients of God's salvation through Jesus Christ. But once we became the recipients of God's salvation, the Apostle John's words in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 applied to us. And if you're a child of God here today, right now, listen to this, because this applies to you right here, right now. Here it is. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the truth, child of God. You and I do not wait to get to heaven for forever to begin. You and I do not wait to get to heaven for fellowship with God to begin. You and I do not wait to get to heaven so that we can glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We ought to be glorifying God and enjoying Him right now, because forever began for us when our mother conceived us in her womb. We have a creative purpose. We're not here by accident. We're not here for us. I'm not here to get all I can get and enjoy it while I got it, because life's going to end soon enough. I am here to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's the only thing that's ever going to make sense to you. I don't care who you are sitting in this room out here. You may have walked through these doors, and the fact of the matter is you have no relationship with Jesus Christ whatsoever. Well, can I tell you, unless you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, you will live and you will die without ever knowing why you exist. Because the creative purpose of every human being is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And the good news is, child of God, if you're a child of God this morning, if you know that you know that you know that you are in Christ, you can glorify God and you can be enjoying God right now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Well, some have the idea, as it were, almost, and this is my word, but couldn't think of a better way to kind of try to describe it to you. There are, as I said, we just don't think deeply enough, I don't think, as Christians, particularly in the West, in America. I mean, some people kind of have the idea that even as believers, we're in a state of probation while we're down here. Not in no state of probation. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. Well, why would that be? Well, because as a believer, we've already passed from death to life. Would you agree with that? Because we are true believers, and I'm talking to the children of God, because we are true believers, we will never come into condemnation. Because we are believers, the Word of God declares to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and boy, is this good right here. We are already accepted in the Beloved. God the Father's acceptance of me as a child of God will never be reversed. And that's why the Word of God speaks of life in Jesus as eternal life. Does anybody know what the word eternal means? Because if I were in a state of probation, I can assure you of one thing. I know me pretty good. I'd break probation and I'd be in hell. How about you? I can't hear you. Would anybody else violate probation if you were on probation with God right now? Look here, I'd be the first ones that the Lord sent an angel down here to put in cuffs and haul off. You thought you were going there, Mose, but nope, you're going there, Mose. You have broke probation for the last time. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. No state of probation for the child of God. Jesus, the Redeemer of sinners, my Redeemer, brought me up out of the slimy pit of depravity and has set my feet on the solid rock of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. It is God who steadies the steps of His children. It is God who establishes the paths of His children. It is God who leads His children in the way everlasting. Therefore, the children of God are not on probation. Do you believe what I'm saying is true?
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question then. Should you and I not dogmatically be doing the will of God on earth, seeing as how the will of God is done in heaven? Isn't that a part of the prayer in the Beatitudes when Jesus taught us how to pray? Huh? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you not know that we partner with God, children of God? Does God need us? No. But does He choose to partner with us to accomplish His will on earth? He absolutely does. So should you and I not be dogmatically determined to do the will of God on earth just as it is done in heaven? Oh, I know some of you, listen, somebody's probably sitting out there thinking right now, I get it. Yeah, well, you know, brother, We ain't in heaven yet. Heaven is a place of perfect service. But this is not a place of perfect service down here. Oh, no, you're not getting away with that excuse with this preacher. Well, you know, we all stumble and fail. And that is absolutely true. We all stumble and fail. But what are we going to do? Use that as a crutch? Well, I'm not perfect. No, you're not. You going to use that as an excuse too? Oh, no. Well, you know, brother, heaven is a place of perfect service, and we're not glorified yet. Well, yes, heaven is a place of perfect service. But let me ask you a question, and here's where the rubber starts meeting the road. You ready for it? Is earth not also a place of service to God for those who know and profess Jesus Christ? Is earth not a place? I ain't getting much response in here this morning. I got three sermons in this right here in Romans. I might just preach to 3 o'clock. Sooner or later, you're going to respond. Huh. Is earth not also a place of service to God to those who profess to know God through Christ? Well, are there not many, many ways that you and I can enjoy serving God here that not even the angels and saints in heaven can enjoy? What? Say what? Have you even thought about that? Do you know there are ways that you and I can serve God here that the angels in heaven and the saints who are already in heaven can't serve God? So you got to think down through this a little bit, don't you? Is it joyful to serve God for you? Should it not be joyful to serve God? Weren't we created to glorify God and enjoy? Glorify God by enjoying Him forever is literally what that text means. How do you glorify God? Well, you better be enjoying God, because if we're not enjoying God, I can assure you we're not going to be glorifying God. Is serving God not an enjoyable experience? Should be. If it's not, something's wrong. Let me explain to you just a few of the ways that you and I, children of God, can serve God here and enjoy serving God here that not even the angels in heaven nor the saints who are already in heaven can enjoy. There are no homeless shelters in heaven, but there are plenty of them here. There are no orphaned or starving children in heaven, but there are plenty of them here. There are no desperately poor people in heaven, but there are plenty of them here. There are no utterly lost people in heaven with whom we may share the saving message of Jesus and plead with them that they would be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, but there are plenty of them here. The angels in heaven, nor those saints who are already there, can serve God in any of those ways in heaven. We are the ones who are still privileged to be here to enjoy God by serving Him in these ways and in many other ways. Do you know that I ought to be enjoying God every time I step in this pulpit? Every time I step in this pulpit and am privileged to preach the gospel, I am greatly privileged, because guess what? Every true preacher who has died and gone on to be with the Lord in glory, they not preaching now. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says that Jesus Himself shall teach us. He's the Word of God. Why do you need preachers like me preaching? This is a tremendous privilege, and it ought to be enjoyable for me, because the day's going to come when I will never preach again, because God don't need preachers in heaven. We ought to be joyful servants here. It is our privilege to be the soldiers of God. It is a high honor to be called an enlisted soldier in His army. Well, I volunteered for the army of God. No, you didn't. You won't find that in the Scripture. If you're in the army of God, He enlisted you. He drafted you. You didn't decide to go down to the post office and sign a form volunteering. You don't volunteer for the Lord's army. He enlists you by His sovereign will. And if you are a child of God in here this morning, you are highly favored and greatly privileged to have been enlisted, drafted into the army of the King. And so guess what? It is a privilege to be in the forefront in daily conflict with sin and Satan. That's right. Think about it. Too many of us have the idea that we ought to go curl up in a corner and hope Satan doesn't see us. But what I'm saying to you is, Satan is already a defeated foe. Jesus has already defeated him by His resurrection from the dead and by His ascension into the heavens. He is seated at the right hand of God right now and will sit there until all of His enemies are placed beneath His feet as a footstool. And then, and only then, will He split the eastern sky and come back. But make no mistake about it, Satan is a defeated foe. And you know what he's not afraid of? He's not afraid of children of God who see no purpose for their life, who have no joy in serving God, and therefore they can't glorify God. He's not afraid of those kind of Christians. But let me tell you who he is afraid of. He's afraid of men, women, young men and young women, boys and girls and teenagers who understand that he's a defeated foe, that they were created to glorify God by enjoying him forever, and they are bound and determined to attack the gates of hell. He's afraid of them. Amen. He is not afraid of Pollyanna preachers who stand in pulpits and speak pablum to people who are in the seats and only tell them what they want to hear so that they always feel on top of the world. Well, the preacher just made my week so much better. He just. And there are times when I'm sure I preach on things that make you feel better. But you know what? The fact of the matter is we're in here to be equipped with the Word of God, to live the Word of God, to go out there and attack the very gates of hell. And that's why I think he attacks me sometimes. You know how I know when I'm really on cue with God? When I'm really doing what God called me to do? When I'm really preaching where I need to be preaching? Is when I come under the most vicious and vile attack. That's when I know that I know that I know that I'm smack dab in the center of God's will. And so to be in the forefront of daily conflict with Satan and with the forces of evil is not something we should go curl up in a corner about and go, well, we ought to get up, stand up, pull ourselves up, and depend on God and march forward as soldiers of the cross and serve God joyfully. Because you see, to do this, is to enjoy God here. So, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy God. Now, I'll be the first to admit that earth is not a place of overflowing joy. Huh? If you're waiting for this place down here to be the place that where you just get all of your happiness and fulfillment from, you're going to be sorely disappointed. No, heaven is that place of overflowing joy. Joy, in fact, will be perfected in heaven. The joy that I have here in Christ, the joy that I have here in serving Christ, will be perfected there. But that is not an excuse for not pursuing and possessing abundant joy here. So let me ask you this morning as I begin to wrap it all up. Do you not possess joy, child of God? Do you not possess joy? Do you possess joy? Do you know that it is the will of your Redeemer that you possess joy? Not just a thimbleful, but a 55-gallon drum full of it. Do you know that that is the will of the Redeemer who bought you with His own blood? I can prove it to you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus' words are recorded. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be what?
Full.
Say it louder.
Full.
Full. Did he say partly that you'll have a measure of joy, some joy? Jesus said that my joy, His joy, might remain in us and that joy becomes our joy, and it is full. I know that once I am in heaven, and I know I'm going there, I know, I can speak for me personally, I know that my ability to contain all that God has for me will be greatly enlarged once He glorifies this body. I understand that. But should we not be full here? Should we not enjoy God here? Must we wait to get to heaven to enjoy God? Do you know what the Word of God says about the saints of God in heaven? The day will come when we will shine brighter than the noonday sun. And that's just a picture of the glorification when there's no sin present, right? So yeah, we may shine brighter there, but I can assure you this, we won't be cleaner. What do you mean by that, Brother Mose? I mean, I'm still in this fallen body. Yes, you are. But in the sight of God, guess what? You are wearing the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, child of God. You are clothed with the very righteousness of the Son of Almighty God. When God sees you, you could be no cleaner in His sight. Just as when He saw His Son hanging on that cross, He saw all of your sin on His Son. And that's why Jesus had to utter those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because when His Father looked at Him, He saw you, and He saw me, and He saw all of our sin. And therefore, by believing in Jesus, when God the Father looks upon us, He sees the righteousness of His sinless Son. So we may shine brighter in heaven, children of God, but we will never be cleaner in the sight of God than we are right now. Whiter than snow in the sight of God. What do you think about that? So, in closing now, in contemplating this sermon and just really thinking through it, I came to the conclusion that it's good to pray for a long life. Well, why? So you have longer to serve God down here. Huh? Well, I'd rather go up there. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When God calls me, I'm going to be glad I'm there. I can't even express the gladness that will be mine when He calls me there. But I ought to be praying. I really believe this. I ought to be praying for a long life here where I have health and I can serve Him down here for a long time. You know why? Because I get one shot at it. I get one shot at serving and enjoying my God down here. There are ways I can serve Him and enjoy Him here that I will never be able to serve Him and enjoy Him up there. And I need to make the most of every opportunity. I need to roll up my sleeves and get in the fight. And not curl up in the corner and say, well, you know, Satan, he's so powerful. He is powerful, but I'm telling you something. You let a church rise up as an army, and he'll be the one frightened. So, here's my challenge to you. Stand up and be counted, child of God. Stand up and be counted, family of God at Center Point Community Church. Stand up and be counted. Stand up and lock arms and recognize that you, as a child of God, are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You are not a nothing. You are capable of so much more than you ever dreamed you were capable of, because you are a child of the Most High God. And if you have to suffer reproach for it, if you have to suffer attack for it, if you have to be misunderstood because of it, rejoice, because they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Great is your reward in heaven if you are persecuted for standing up and living and speaking for Jesus. Blessed are you if you are faithful to Jesus and serve Jesus and enjoy Jesus. There are going to be people who don't want to be around you because you're going to act weird. You're going to be weird looking to them. You're going to talk weird looking. That's a weird dude, I'm telling you. I'm just a Jesus freak. What can I say? Enjoy God here, because you're going to enjoy Him there soon enough, child of God. You'll enjoy Him there soon enough. But enjoy Him here. While you're here, let your life sing a new song to the Lord beginning today. You know why? Because you're rehearsing for heaven. Let your life sing a new song to Jesus today, because you're rehearsing for heaven. Rehearse well. You know what I did last Lord's Day after leaving here? I pretty quickly went home, and I sat all afternoon. I couldn't even take a nap. As tired as I was, I couldn't even take a nap. I just sat all afternoon thinking about how God moved here last week. It's so wonderful to see God move that way. And I have been praying all week that it would not be an anomaly, you know, but that God would be pleased to move and work again today. And I've really been praying about that this week. I hope you have too. Nothing more wonderful than to see the Holy Spirit work in people's hearts. If the Holy Spirit has moved in your heart today, you know it. Whether He convicted you and you need to ask for forgiveness and come kneel and pray, or whether you feel empowered where perhaps you did not feel empowered an hour ago and you need to come kneel and thank Him, Or perhaps God the Holy Spirit has brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ by showing you that you must have Jesus or you will die for all eternity. If the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart, you know it. I don't have to explain it to you. So you come when we sing. But here's what I know. We need for the church to be powerful. When you look at everything that's going on around us in our society, right here in America, the things that are being accepted as normal, the things that are being promoted, do I have to name it all off? Did you ever think you would see the day in the United States of America when such depravity and evil was promoted and called normal? Would you ever thought you'd have saw it? I've been warning about things just like this for years. And if you've been sitting under my preaching, you have heard me many, many times say, if we don't get serious, if we don't get real, if we don't sell out for Jesus as the people of God, this nation is gone. Do you understand what I've been saying to you? This nation will be gone forever. And it's on the cusp of it right now. It's time to put Christ first in our lives, or we're going to have to look at our children and our grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren, and we're going to have to say to them, it's my fault that you have to live in this hole. But I'm just one person. I can't do that much. I know what you can do. You can live for Jesus and you can speak the truth. And speak it in love, but if people don't like it, they just got to be offended. It's time to step up and step out and live for Jesus first and foremost. Because I'm telling you, the answer to our country's woes does not lie in the White House. The answer lies with God. Only God can save this nation. But we want to get the White House right, so many of us do. We want to get the halls of government right. Let me tell you something where we need to start. We need to start in our house, in our individual homes, and in this house right here. It's got to start somewhere. It does not start at the top and trickle down. It starts down here with you and me standing up and being counted and saying, I was created to serve God by enjoying Him forever. And no matter the cost to me personally, I will not fail God. And I will not fail my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. Because we got here because of mass failure. Christianity in America has been a sham for 75 years. So many people professing faith in Jesus, but they're not committed to Him. Not really committed to His church. And then we wonder. Then we want to fuss and fight and argue and say ugly things about everything that's going on in our country. And part of the reason it's going on is because people who profess faith in Christ weren't living for Christ, putting their wants and their desires ahead of His. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, ceased to be the most popular verse of Scripture in the Word of God. And guess what became the most popular verse in the Scripture of the Word of God? Everybody knows it in America. You can ask them whether they're saved or not. Judge not, lest you be judged. The most popular verse of Scripture in all of America. And yet they have no idea what that verse of Scripture means. Quoted out of context, they can't nobody judge nothing as being sinful or being holy. Well, I'm telling you something. I ain't standing for it. I'm just not going to stand for it. I'm going to fight if I'm the last man standing. I love this country, but let me tell you what I love more. I love my God. And his honor is worth fighting for. His truth is worth dying for. Would you agree? Brother, we're not going to sing. Just keep playing. I'm just going to sit down right here. We'll dismiss in a minute. I didn't plan to say anything I just said. It just came out. But you know what? I'm convinced we are in serious times. I'm convinced we are in grave danger. We are in grave danger. We're on the cusp of being utterly destroyed. I don't know how else to say it. Pray right where you are while Alan plays. Or come up here and get on your knees and ask God for mercy and courage before it's too late.